Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Tuesday edition. The happy training camp eve to all who celebrate edition. Hey, Zach, Tom, I know you've got a couple of extra dollars in your pocket now. Have you considered investing in the pickler edition? And the... Are you courtesy laughing me?
No, actually, I thought that was funny.
Yeah, but. I was proud of that one. Okay, good. I feel better.
And true. If he does, we're good. Let's go.
And of course, the Brewers won another game, so we should really dedicate the vast majority of the show to the hottest team in baseball. Even Jeff Passan is on board edition of Wilde and Tausch.
The best team in baseball.
Did the Tigers win yesterday?
Oh, yeah, by the way.
Skeens got them.
No, they lost. By the way, you say stuff and it gets put up on clips. Homer actually had to rein me in. I meant right now when they swept. Listen, six in a row against the Dodgers. Dodgers gold standard. Milwaukee's better than the Dodgers. That's right now. Should have went that road with it. That was on me.
On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. We back up. And, of course, everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can get both in the Android and Apple app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from his undisclosed location, Jordan Love is number 68 on the NFL Top 100. This guy is number one on our Top 100. It is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jason. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for asking.
You like it when I ask how you're doing.
I do appreciate
even though
that.
You,
yes, thank you.
You're used to me not asking you, so you're sipping
it
your
does throw me a
I
bit,
ask.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wasn't prepared
but you're
for that.
Doing good. You look fresh. You look good.
I'll tell you what. Speaking of looking good, the photo shoot yesterday? I'll tell you what, man. Ross from Channel 3, WISC-TV, News 3 Now, he's not a magician. He's just a marketing czar. But he managed to take some photos of me that I actually look cool. Like, it's incredible. I can't believe, I don't know how he did it.
Cool, probably. I'm guessing cool.
No, no, it's, strong. Let me be clear. I know that I'm not cool, but he managed to make an uncool person look cooler than he is cool. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, it does,
so,
actually.
I'll send you a few, and I'll make sure I autograph an 8x10 glossy for you after I get them printed out. Sure. But it was, Goody was leaving as, thankfully, I had finished up. So we passed each other in the parking lot. He did not wave. I waved to him. I'm going to assume he didn't see me. Or maybe his mind was on the fact that he had just shelled out $30.2 million, the largest signing bonus for an offensive lineman in National Football League history, to Zach Tom. Tausch, you always believed it was coming. I got spooked a little bit.
Anybody that has paid attention knew this was coming. Like, come on. You got Steno'd. Steno'd you a little bit with this whole competition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He did.
So, first off, congrats to Zach Tom. And second off, Goody, it ain't your money, so you shouldn't be mad. And if things go the way I think Balaga, myself, and people that watch offensive line play, Zach Tom in 2 years will say, man, I should have waited. I'd have gotten 30, because it'll end up being in the mid-30s. But that's the give and take. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be, I think, a total win-win. Zach Tom gets the biggest signing bonus. He's going to average $22 million a year. He's locked up for 5 years now.
Correct.
You have this year plus a four-year extension. Mm-hmm. So I think you look at it, and this was such a no-brainer to everyone that was paying attention. And I thought yesterday, and I said this on Wisconsin's Morning News with Vince and Eric this morning, this shows you the difference between what quote-unquote America's team does and what America's team does. The Dallas Cowboys don't do what the Green Bay Packers do. If you're proactive with things and you identify players that are going to be your core players, you sign them. And you take care of them because you can get them at a lesser price than if you take them to market every time. Now, that doesn't mean every player, but Green Bay showed yesterday why they are a self-sustaining operation and a world-class organization, because they know what the hell they're doing. And, yes, will they fight when a player gets older and get rid of them? They will, and that can be painful for some of us and for people. But when you're in your prime, your elevators line up, and you've proven that you're a good football player, and they want you, here you go. We will give you what we think is a fair market price, even though a couple years down the road it probably won't. Zach Tom getting a big extension. The competition is over. That is the quickest. I thought last year's competition between Jordan Morgan and Rashid Walker was quick. This was an off-season competition where they never put pads and didn't practice at more than a jog through speed. And Zach Tom wins it with an $88 million contract extension. So I would hope that when you ask Steno, you could say, was that the quickest competition win in the history of offensive line play? Because there was that conversation. I believe it was a, let's make sure Zach Tom gets here, we can get him signed. And I just look at this from a Packers standpoint and say, this is what the Packers do, and this is why they're successful and sustainable with their offensive line, because this is how they handle their business.
Wait till Anthony Belton beats him out in training camp, and he's sitting on the bench with his $30.2 million. Yeah, I don't ever want Steno to stop being Steno, because we learn a lot more because Steno is open and honest and helpful. I just never understood why he said what he said. And
none of us could.
The only theory that I developed over time, Tausch, was he wanted to make sure that it wasn't all about the left tackle competition, even though it's all about the left tackle competition, right? I mean, it's the one spot where, as of now and as of then, there was clear-cut competition. They announced it in March when Goody was at the NFL meetings. When I look at the situation now, it is going to be the focus of training camp. It is the one competition really anywhere, right? There's no special. We're not going to be charting hang times for punts or how many kicks Brandon McManus makes versus Greg Joseph or Anders Carlson. They ain't there. Like, the left tackle competition is really the only competition. Yes, the wide receivers will be jockeying for opportunities, but beyond that, is there a training camp competition that I'm not thinking of?
I don't think anyone's going to compete with Sean Ryan at right guard. I think that was the other spot that was kind of thought about.
Unless Rashid has an early knockout again and they start working Jordan Morgan then at right guard, right? But as of now, it's Sean Ryan's job.
Yeah. It is until we figure out what Elgton Jenkins is going to do. I would bet that Sean Ryan will be playing center if Elgton Jenkins isn't if they're worried that they're not going to get anything done with him, they will have to make that position open for business. And then I don't know who they put in. If you just go Monk and then you see if he gets it.
Donovan Jennings.
I don't know. Huh?
You put Donovan Jennings in at the guard spot and see if Matt LaFleur knows who he is.
Yeah, there aren't going to be a lot of other spots. I think the D-line, that rotation, who's going to earn those spots, I think will be in play as well. But, yeah, that's why we're all sitting here talking about this team and the uncertainty and all this stuff, and there is some. But it's more about how good are they going to be. You kind of know who the players are going to be. You kind of have the script. It's just a matter, are there going to be any breakout stars? Or is this just going to be your normal, Saturday night show? That's the part we'll find out. This was never a competition. We said it from the jump. This was, I still, other than maybe leveraging the fact that maybe they thought Zach Tom might not come to camp without a new deal, maybe that's why they said that, to kind of scare him a little bit and get him, you better report and you better do this and da-da-da-da-da, knowing the whole time that Zach Tom was going to get paid, was going to be paid well, and for the Green Bay Packers, this is going to be a deal that they're going to say, attaboy, this is going to be an attaboy Russ, I would guess in a 2 or 3 years. I thought, after Penei Sewell and Lane Johnson and those boys, I think Zach Tom is right behind them right now, and he's a lot younger than Lane Johnson. Mm-hmm. Good deal. Well done by Russ Ball and by Brian Gutekunst here.
All right, so this is what the Packers do in most cases. They didn't do it with Davante Adams. They didn't do it with Micah Hyde. There's been small examples throughout time.
Different scenario, though. Davante, they did the first time. They didn't
true.
Do it the second
That's
time.
True. You're right about that. No doubt about it. I guess my question is, if they do the smart thing, because I was getting some grief I saw on social media that, I have too much anxiety about the Elgton Jenkins situation. Guilty as charged in terms of liking Elgton Jenkins.
There's that new song out, Anxiety's Got Me Burning.
Heard that, we turn the channel. Yeah. I know, I was told it sucks, so we turn channels. In Elgton Jenkins' case, we've been over this ground 100 times during the offseason. I don't want to repeat it, other than the fact that tomorrow is the first practice. He's on the non-football injury list. I don't know if he suffered an injury between the end of minicamp and coming to camp, or if this is part of the process of a hold-in, is that he's put on this list. But do you believe now, because look, the two things that are on that contractual to-do list would be, are they going to do something with Quay Walker, right? Goody said, we want him beyond 26. He also said that Davante Adams is a Hall of Fame player and we're going to sign him. And he also said that
I think
Aaron Jones
is
absolutely going to be on our team. Exactly. So do they do something with Quay Walker?
And I would not.
Do they take care of Elgton Jenkins?
They should. I don't know what Elgton wants. I think if it's a little sprinkler for this season, I think that the Packers would do that. I don't think the Packers want to get in the business of paying 30-year-old offensive linemen 3- and 4-year contracts. I don't think that is not their MO. And when they've done that, it has not worked out for them.
And unless you've heard something different, that is not what Elgton Jenkins is looking for, which is why
I've
been so confused.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask you. What do you think Elgton Jenkins wants?
So here, and again, I understand some of you
have
heard this.
No sourcing. I know you didn't talk to anybody. Wink, wink, wink.
Yeah, no sourcing, or maybe a little bit of sourcing. But, again, if he's on the team for the first game, he's a vested veteran. He gets all $11 million of his base salary for this year. Next year, his base salary is $18 million. So you're talking about $30 million-ish over these 2 years.
Yeah, they
as I understand it, he would like some of that $18 million to be guaranteed. So that he knows he's going to be here next year, too. And then if they want to say, I don't know how much of the 18 he wants guaranteed, but enough that he'll be here would be my understanding. Which, again, if you think he is an all-pro center, which Goody said, and I know we can't just go by everything Goody says, but if that's what you think, and you also want to have the flexibility to say, hey, buzz off, man, you're 31 now, a year from now, we don't want you anymore. I get it. But I would think for the locker room, for a guy who's a leader in there, for a guy, and I know there's a few people that have, well, he did get belligerent at a strip club in Atlanta during the offseason. Yeah, he wanted a refund. We've all wanted refunds and gotten a little belligerent with the customer service representative. But the bottom line is that if you only want him for the next 2 years, and then you don't want to do anything beyond that, I get it. I don't blame Goody for that at all. All I'm wondering is, and the struggle I have is, how do you ask the Elgton question without getting, Jason, you know we don't talk about contracts around here. Because I want to ask, what's it going to take to get this resolved? You know, do you see him as a member of this team?
You just ask, how far apart are you guys?
And then I'm going to get the contract thing. I'm going to get the contract answer. We don't talk about contracts, Jason. You know that.
Yeah, just say, I know you don't talk about contracts. Kind of take that away from him. Take that little pill away from him.
And then he'll say, you're right. We don't talk about contracts. I just, Tausch, if I'm being blinded by I like Elgton, fine. Tell me why this is still an issue. This isn't like Trey Hendrickson, right, who wants a 3-year, $120 million deal like the Steelers just gave T.J. Watt.
But, Jason, it kind of is in the fact that Elton's moving spots and Trey Hendrickson is underpaid for a defensive end of his caliber. The market keeps going up. At center, the market hasn't really rocketed up from where it was. He's actually at, if you go 18 and 11, that's $29 million over two seasons, he'll be one of the highest paid centers in the league.
Less than Creed Humphrey.
They're not. What is Creed Humphrey making? He doesn't make 15 a year, does he?
I looked this up the other day. I'll look it up again. Go ahead.
So this is more of, do you want me for an extended period of time? Because this isn't going to be, I don't think Elgton is sitting there saying, I need to be the highest paid center in the league. Because
no,
they'll come back
not.
And say, well, you haven't even played center. Mm-hmm. We don't know. Right. Mm-hmm. Elton's looking at this saying, this is what was owed on my contract. I am doing you a favor by moving to center. Mm-hmm. I could go on the open market and get left guard money, which we've seen left guards. They're making upper teens to low 20s. Elgton is actually sacrificing some of his financial earnings. Mm-hmm. Because I think he wants to play center. That was abundantly clear to me when I, you know, last offseason already. This was this was in the works, as we've talked about numerous times. He just wants some stability as an older player. Hey, a lot of us wanted stability as an older player. You don't get it very often. So Elgton could bet on himself because Green Bay, what I know Green Bay won't do, is pay him $18 million a year to play center next year on a one-year deal. That they're not going to do. What they would do is say, well, let's work something out. I think they want to see this season play itself out and hope for both sides that Elton stays healthy. Elton is saying, it's not, I am not going to do that. And that's where this thing is coming to a head. So the easy thing would be, all right, $29 million, you already get 11. Let's get you to 16 or 17 guaranteed. Then even if it goes south, all right, we're out $2-3 million. Psht, you get to go find your way. You get a little bit of security. And if he gets hurt, he's injury protected by the CBA. He would be able to get a lot of that money back. That would be, to me, the median here of what they're looking for and what I think Green Bay, this is going to be more of what will Green Bay swallow here moving forward of this remaining money that's not guaranteed.
Creed Humphrey signed a four-year, $72 million deal, which included an $18 million signing bonus and $50.3 million guaranteed.
Yeah, he's in the elevator of his career.
Mm-hmm. Just so we understand where.
So what is that, $18 million a year? Is that about what that number is?
Yeah, that's exactly $18 million a year. Look at you. I thought you were a geography guy.
So I think Elton could make a really good argument and say, listen, man, just guarantee these next 2 years. And if that's the case, we're good. Because
right.
He'd be making about that, right? It would be actually even less than that.
Less than that, he'd average center. About 14 and a half, 15. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. And you've been very clear that Elton doesn't want new money. He just wants guaranteed money. That's what I've heard from you.
That is what I've said repeatedly.
Okay.
And you've said repeatedly how great Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin are.
Indeed, and for windows with the strongest resilience, you need the Pella Experience. The Pella Experience Center will let you see it, feel it, open, close, compare dozens of windows and other door options from 7 different Pella lines. You can do it all side by side. Stop by soon, because if you order by July 31st, you can get 0 interest for up to 5 years. Certain restrictions do apply. Visit the Pella Experience Center in Brookfield or schedule your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
Training camp is a day away. We're getting ready here on Wilde and Tausch. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
We need to get ready for Evan Cohen, but you said something that snuck past briefly, and I just want to go back to it. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on it, but I saw this from Jordan Schultz. What did Rap Sheet call him when they were getting into it? Coffee Boy. He's thrown his hat in the ring now in the insider world for Fox Sports. He mentioned that the Packers have been talking with Quay Walker about an extension. I said a little bit of that to you, and I thought I heard you say, while I was still talking, and I just kept going, I wouldn't do that, something to that effect.
Yeah.
I agree with you. There's a risk there, obviously, right, that he pops the way they think he could in this system and the way he did for 3 games before he hurt his ankle in Seattle, and you end up having to pay more for him.
Tag him.
Sure, right. But I think they view him and Edgerrin Cooper as finally, after many, many, many years, their Fred Varner, as you like to call him, and Dre Greenlaw, who's now playing, I think, in Denver. But you would not do that. Because my thought is, you could get him at a lower rate than you would have to pay if you were extending him after he has a breakout season in year 4. That's the only reason I ask.
Yeah, well, what's that rate?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think here's the deal. I think he obviously is a first-round pick, a talented cat. We can run. He hasn't put it together. You see, I think there's a maturity that he has shown as he is, you know, from where he was in year 1 and 2, you're starting to see kind of the light bulb come on. But I think at this point, I still want to see more. Now, if you can get him at a price that you feel really good about, if you're Russ, okay. But at this point, I think Edgerrin Cooper is going to be a star. And I don't know if you want to be paying. I guess the reason for what I'm saying is I want to see Edgerrin Cooper. If he rockets off like we think, I want you going and extending him. And I want you looking, and I think he'd have to wait another year before they could do that. But at that point, you know. And mm-hmm. if Quay goes and rockets off, okay, and then you can make that decision based on two different guys' evolution of play. Because if Edgerrin Cooper doesn't take that leap and Quay does, all right, hey, we're happy to pay you, Quay. You're going to be our guy. And if he doesn't, you're not sitting here saying, well, we're kind of stuck. Because once you pay him, and you give him the bonus and how Russ does it, you're going to get two. You're basically saying he's here the next two, maybe
Correct.
3 years.
Yeah.
And you're going to be paying him at a top dollar when you could probably, if you start watching, Edgerrin Cooper was the best inside linebacker available, pretty much on everybody's board. He dropped to 45 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I just think there is always going to be able to get value at that spot with really good players. And if Edgerrin Cooper is as good as we all think he's going to be, man, then you can draft another young guy. Because mm-hmm. You heard this with Mark Murphy at the tailgate tour when he was saying there was never going to be Aaron Jones, because the Packers basically look at this, and with very few exceptions, they look at positions and they allocate funds according to this spot. Middle linebacker. This is where we're going to be. So it's either we're paying a top-end guy, then we have to go and try and find a younger player that can supplement that, because mm-hmm. you can't pay every position top dollar. So it's great if you get that special player, but you're not going to. If they signed Josh Jacobs, they knew immediately, well, we're not spending $20 million a year at the running back spot. So Aaron Jones, thank you for your service, but deuces be. That's how the Packers approach things.
Well, I do believe, and maybe I am alone in my belief in Quay Walker, but I do think we saw the best version of him during that stretch. I think this is going to be the right defense for him. We didn't see him running around a gap to come back from the other side because he was confused as to where he was going. I just thought he looked more decisive. I just thought he played the best football we've seen him play. And
is he,
if that's...
Does he have playmaking does he have Quay making play abilities? Quay making.
That was such a great idea, but the execution was meh.
It took me a minute to make sure I got it right.
Yeah, I understand.
You didn't.
No, I didn't say I did, Jesse. I didn't
yes,
say I got it right.
I do wrong. Think he does. I know when
to
I say
level?
That.
What level?
It's a good question.
Like, are we satisfied with him if he's AJ Hawk?
Has he even been? Has he been AJ Hawk to this point?
He has not been AJ Hawk, and we've had many people tell me how AJ Hawk was below average. I disagree vehemently with those people.
Again, that's the expectation game, right? I mean, he was the fifth overall pick.
Quay's the first round pick, dude.
Right. I think to your point earlier, like, if you can get Edgerrin Cooper at 45 or wherever you got him, then what did you draft Quay Walker at 22 for? Right? Why did they do that then? Why didn't they?
Is there anyone up at Lambeau that thinks Quay Walker can be a bigger playmaker than Edgerrin Cooper right now as we sit here on the 22nd of July?
Hmm. Yeah, you mean people that actually work for the team?
Does Quay Walker think that?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Last year, 2.5 sacks, 9 tackles for loss, 2 pass breakups, and 12 quarterback pressures. Third straight 100 tackle season. Those are your numbers.
Yeah, he is I'm not going to say he's Blake Martinez. He does more things behind the line of scrimmage. He's more impactful.
He had that pick six against Chicago in the opener 2 years ago, and you thought, oh, he is going to be a playmaker now,
and that was
the last time he made a play.
Right, and that you're looking at, you want to replicate what the Niners did, what Tampa did with their two inside linebackers.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. I just don't think you're going to want to pay both guys at top rate market value. San Fran doesn't do that.
Yep.
I don't think Green Bay will. And all I'm sitting here telling you is I am fully loaded on stock, investing in the Edgerrin Cooper stock. And if Quay Walker is a nice little T-bomb that's going to yield me 3%, 6%, what, 4%, 5%, great. But I'm not going to expect this. I don't expect him to be a growth stock for me. I expect Edgerrin Cooper to.
Well, if you were investing in someone to redo your bathroom, you would invest in Kohler Services.
I would, and we were just down in Salem. And
Witch
we put a, got to demo out, rip some tile, break down a little bit, and I saw a brand new, beautiful bathtub in there. And if you need a new bath or shower remodel, Kohler Services is your spot. Family owned for 150 years, Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer providing care for life. And this month only, you get $1,000 off your Luxtone shower remodel and no interest financing for 12 months. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote with fast professional installation always included. Again, that is KohlerServicesWI.com.
Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike, who will he bring with him today? Last week, Smalls, Rob, do we get a little Chris Canty? Will there be a fake mooning? Stay tuned to find out next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
We're on the Brewers.
And 2025 wants to be in the discussion as one of the greatest Brewers teams of all time.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
It's going to come down to what they do in October.
This is Madison's new home of Milwaukee Brewers baseball. 100.5 ESPN.
Will Michelle Smallman join him again? Will Rob Lorenzo join him again? Will Chris Canty join him? Or will it just be Evan Cohen? Which is okay if it's just him. Let's find out.
Hey, Jason, if there was one ESPN cat, who would you want to show up on Evan's screen with him right now? Anybody that works at ESPN, who are you picking?
My two favorites are Chris Fowler and Steve Levy.
Okay.
They were both really nice to me when I was there. This guy's nice to me all the time, too.
That's all that really matters to you, isn't it? If someone's nice to you.
It's a factor. There's no doubt about that.
Okay.
Speaking of which, Evan, good morning. How are you?
Hello, guys. Good answers, Jason. I think those are – I don't know Fowler. I don't either actually know either of them at all, really. I've interviewed them both. But I think they're widely considered very nice, and they've – I think it's one of those things when you've been at ESPN for as long as those two guys have, it's more than just being great on the air, which we know that they are, but it's like the teammates liking them and the entire team. I think those are good answers. Tausch, why don't you answer the same question?
Well, because nobody asked me. That's why I didn't answer it. John McEnroe.
I'm asking you. John,
I just
John
said John McEnroe.
Yes. Don't cheat.
He works for ESPN.
I understand.
He just did Wimbledon.
I understand, but you know that the spirit of the question is not for you to answer John McEnroe.
It's a good answer.
That's who I'd be interested in talking with for a while. Like if I go out to Tornado with Evan, and he said, you know what, Tausch, I'm going to bring anybody you want from ESPN to join us, I'd say bring Johnny Mac. That's what I'd say.
Okay, but John McEnroe is not known for being on ESPN.
Neither is Damian Woody. He's known as a Super Bowl champion. Ryan Clark, Pittsburgh Steelers, Super Bowl champion. So you can start going through a list of all these guys. Kendrick Perkins, nope, he's an NBA champ. What's your point?
My point is I don't want to speak for Evan, but in my opinion, when you ask that question, I'm thinking of they're known for being ESPN personalities. You're not known for our show. You're known for having played 11 years in the NFL, and now you do our show, and I am grateful for it.
Wait a minute. You had me until that, and this is not – I have no interest in making fun of the unbelievable accomplishment of playing 11 years in the NFL.
Uh-oh.
But I'm saying this to a kudos to Tausch. You don't think this show and Tausch's role on this show versus playing in the NFL, like it's close? You don't think there are a lot of people that know him more from this show than his career in the NFL?
In the state of Wisconsin, no, I don't. I think that
no,
he
but,
is.
But Jason, I'm saying because of the nature of his position, Couch didn't play a position where it could be like, oh, remember that time.
Yeah, I would just say this. If he wasn't from...
How did this flip back to me?
I don't know,
I'm
but
still trying
I love
to understand
how uncomfortable
this.
You are, so shut up for
no,
a
I ain't
second.
Uncomfortable. I'm trying to... No, I'm not. Evan, who would you pick from ESPN?
No, don't do this. I mean,
wait,
here's why.
Let me explain. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah.
He's from Auburndale, Wisconsin. He played for the Badgers. He is Wisconsin through and through. It certainly boosts our show in a huge way. I'm not saying that.
Yes.
If he had played at Youngstown State and grown up in Bloomington Normal, Illinois, you're right. He would not be known for having played 11 years. That would not be the same. The appeal and the affinity that Wisconsin sports fans have for him would not be the same degree. It's because
there's
he's one
no
of
question.
Us.
And, you know, there's no question. You know, our teammate in Cleveland, Gerard Cherry, is on ESPN Cleveland. He won not one, not two, but three Super Bowls with the Patriots.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I always thought to Gerard, I'm like, he was a second-round pick. I'm like, your NFL career was unreal. But in Cleveland, I'm not sure they're going to care because they care more about your show because you weren't on the Browns. And he's like, I know. I agree.
I agree with him.
Right. So your point about Tausch is well taken. But that said, Tausch, random person comes up to you on the street that recognizes you. Do they talk to you more about your playing days or what you guys said on Wilde and Tausch?
I'll say this. It's gotten to be more Wilde and Tausch than it was 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a good sign.
Okay.
Jesse, put up the poll question. Mark Tauscher
no.
is most known.
No, I'm not putting that poll.
Hold
you
on.
Put it up on yours.
Mark,
I don't want it.
Well, I'm not going to put it on mine.
No.
That would Jason could put
I
it
don't.
On his.
We're not putting that on ours.
I'm not wading into these waters any further than I already have.
No, here.
Right,
okay,
let's
do this. Jesse can be a final vote. Jesse Nelson.
Oh, boy.
Okay? Don't want to put extra work in for you here, but if you can talk for a second. Mark Tauscher is most known for, .. playing for the Badgers, playing for the Packers, will be in Tausch, or broadcasting Badger football games.
That's an easy answer.
I think playing for the Green Bay Packers.
Yes.
And I think
that's
we'll be Tausch, I've got to be honest.
We are bigger than
it's
we think
closer.
We are.
It's closer, for sure.
All right, Tausch, change subjects.
All right. No, you guys take it where you want. You haven't even answered your own question yet. How this got here, I don't know. So I don't know where I'm at.
Magic.
I haven't answered a question.
No, Jason didn't. All right, Evan, what do you think it is?
No, I did. Remember, that's how we started. I said Steve Levy.
All right, we've discussed, you know, O-line play here, Zach Tom, this contract extension that the Green Bay Packers just gave him. And isn't this just – you guys love talking Cowboys nationally because for whatever reason. Isn't what we heard yesterday from Jarrah and from Steven and from everybody else and how they handle their business – in comparison to Green Bay, doesn't that show you and tell you everything you need to know about why Dallas has been 30 years without making an NFC championship game and Green Bay has been knock, knock, knocking at Super Bowls and Super Bowl doors for the last 25? Or do you think it's something else?
No, I think, okay, so let's go through this. Let's do an exercise on this together. If I said to every Packers fan listening to Wilde and Tausch right now or watching Wilde and Tausch right now, define what winning a Super Bowl means. They would define it based on winning the final game of the season and holding up the Lombardi Trophy, right?
Yep.
Very simply, okay? If I said to the Packers organization, define what winning the Super Bowl means, they would say the same thing. Both the fans and the organization would take that question literally. I think Jerry Jones answers that question figuratively. and I think he wins the Super Bowl or tries to win the Super Bowl 365 days a year. And I think that every other franchise tries to win the Super Bowl on a Sunday in February. And so what Jerry Jones has done is he's acted differently and created a brand differently than I believe any other team in American sports. So that includes the Packers, it includes the Lakers, it includes the Yankees, it includes any of the top-tier teams. And only one person operates based on headlines. Adam Schefter joined us this morning at 6:15 on our show, Central, and literally said he's the P.T. Barnum of the NFL. And I followed up because Adam was talking about the contracts and his delay in contracts, the exact opposite of what the Packers do, obviously. I said, what does he value more, headlines or cap space? And Adam said, probably equal, but maybe leaning towards headlines more. The Green Bay Packers probably would not care if they were never talked about, because when you sign Zach Tom relatively early to the contract they signed him to, they are taking themselves out of the headlines long term by Woody and Tausch not speculating as to whether or not he's going to get signed, and by signing him early, they create the cap space. Jerry Jones operates one way. 31 other teams, including the Packers, operate another way.
So if you're a fan of that, of let's say it's New England, I think you are you still on their bandwagon or did you jump off?
Shush. Yes, I'm still with the Patriots.
Would you want Jerry Jones as the owner of your favorite team?
No, I would not. But I understand that if you had an investment in a team, like an actual, like if you could as a fan, I don't mean the Packers version of ownership. I mean, like literally I could put in money and be a stockholder. You would want him running the team because there's nobody better at increasing the value. But the teams for me as a fan that I'm attracted to as a fan are usually more times than not boring by design. And that's what I like, is only about winning at every turn. And from an on-field or on-court perspective, Jerry Jones, I think we forget sometimes, he's already accomplished what everyone sets out to accomplish, right? Three times over. And I think he's still yearning for the credit. But I remember, I think we all on this show, the three of us, love Michael Jordan, right? We put Michael Jordan on a pedestal that is so extremely high, correct?
Yes.
Correct.
I do, yes.
Yeah, and I remember talking to Craig Karmazin, Sunday Karma, on ESPN Wisconsin.
After he beat you in tennis?
Oh, God. Really, Jason, we have to go there? That's just a low blow. I mean, good job by you, but low blow.
Thank you.
I remember talking to him about MJ as the majority governor of the Hornets. And I said, as an MJ like truther, I'm like, it kind of bugs me that he never was able to win as the owner or governor of the Hornets. He said, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, they stink every year. And he goes, why do you think he's judging wins and losses the same way that he used to as a player? And I said, what do you mean? I said, he's like, he already won six championships as a player. That part of winning and losing he's already accomplished.
It's money.
He may judge winning and losing by increase in franchise valuation. And if you look at it, MJ put in like 100, 150, whatever it was, and sold at a $3 billion valuation, for somebody like Jerry Jones, who's already won three Super Bowls, he may only be looking at it as the $10 billion-plus valuation of the team, and that may be his version of winning and losing. That's not what Packers fans look at as winning and losing. That's not what the Packers organization looks at as winning and losing. And in many ways, not having a true owner of a team in a traditional sense is probably a huge benefit for Packers fans. Because what you guys get, and gals get, that so many other fan bases don't, is a commitment to investment in quarterback development every single year, which is the ultimate commitment in winning.
Yeah, but I would say, you could say that about Jerry. He has conquered the business world. Nobody's going to ever argue that. I think he would give a lot of that $10 billion up if he could say, it's me and Steven picked and put a team together that won a world championship, because for as much as he's got
three Super Bowls. Let me ask you a follow-up on that. Let me ask you a follow-up on that, Josh. I don't mean to interrupt, but it feeds into
I don't even think I asked a question yet, but okay.
No, but it doesn't matter. Mine will be better. So
I know it doesn't. Canty, I'm well aware.
Canty had a great hypothetical today. Jason will be into this, too. Would Jerry Jones sign up over the last decade to be the Rams? Never talked about, extremely well run, won a title, but not in the headlines.
That is a great question.
The answer is no.
No, he would not. I agree.
Would he sign up? Would he sign up again? I'm crossing sports here, but would he sign up to be the Oklahoma City Thunder? They are set up to be a dynasty potentially. I don't think so. We don't talk about them. Even they won a title a month ago. We don't talk about them.
No,
you're right.
I don't think so.
Right. So yeah, that answers so. That. Like when you're saying he'd give up $10 billion to put together a championship team, I think he'd give up money to get credit for putting together a championship team.
Yes.
He's already put together a championship team.
That's a really good little nuance there. That's really good.
So let me ask you guys this then. Right now, one of the unique parts about the Packers, as we've discussed many times, is related to like the end of Rodgers, the beginning of Love, etc., is the lack of ownership, right? Like, there's an actual owner. I mean, there's ownership of things. But would Packers fans today sign up for Jerry Jones to own the team versus no one owning the team?
Nope. No.
The franchise, based on track record, the franchise would be bigger. The stadium would be nicer. Jason, your town that you live in Green Bay, there would probably be businesses that would be more successful as a result. And Packers fans would not sign up for that.
They would not even think about signing up for it.
Why do you say that? I agree with you, but I'm curious as to why.
A, they don't know any different. They don't want that. It's ingrained. And I don't think the Green Bay Packers would want to be about PT Barnum and, you know, all hat, no cattle. Like, we're more cattle. We want cattle. We ain't real interested in the hat. That's why.
And let's be realistic here. There's an itchiness in the Packers fan base now after 15 years since Super Bowl 45. It is twice as long. The Cowboys, hey, what was it, 92, 93, 95? Were those the three Jerry titles? It's been 30 years. I understand.
But
I think
Jason, what you just said is so interesting, the way you contextualized it. Because I bet you the younger audience of Will Dientausch doesn't fully realize he won three titles. They just see the, wait, what? He just ripped Micah Parsons and threw out a hypothetical of a player getting hit by a car for no apparent reason? And they don't actually realize how you just contextualized it as, yes, at one point there were three championships. Long, long, long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, to put that in perspective, when the 1996, and again, this is what happens when you get old, when the 1996 team won the Super Bowl, it had been 29 years since the last Packers title with the Lombardi-era Packers. And Ray Nitschke is on the field when they win against Carolina crying. That's how long, that now the Cowboys have gone longer without a title than the Packers did from the Lombardi era to the 96 Wolf, Holmgren, Favre, Reggie White.
Yeah.
When you guys
again categorize it the way you are, and you're saying Packers fans would be really turned off and uninterested in Jerry Jones owning the team, what about if I told you you could have the Roonies?
No.
So I love when Tausch talks Steelers.
Packers fans in general are satisfied with the way in which it's run with no ownership. Even though the last 24 hours in the NFL, some of the biggest conversation obviously has been around ownership with Cincinnati and Dallas, etc. That the Packer fan wakes up today, Cincinnati's a mess. But the Packer fan today wakes up today and she or he is saying, thank God we don't have to deal with that crap.
That is exactly what Packer fans are thinking.
Got it. Correct. Okay.
Hey, Evan, sidetrack because you brought up Michael Jordan. My buddy Chris Stiles, avid listener of the program, his son Drew is going to be a junior in high school, and he is convinced, we were just talking about this the other day, we need to have an intervention. He believes that it's not even close, LeBron, the GOAT over MJ. Can you help me on how I should best? This feels like trying to get someone out of a cult. How do I convince Drew that he is misguided?
So, I don't know that you can. And here's my reasoning, Jason. First of all, my son's basketball coach, who I love. This guy's great. We've become friends. He's like around our age, and he thinks LeBron over Jordan. And it's gotten to a point I can't talk to him about it. It's like one of those, like, religion. You don't talk religion or politics at dinner. I can't talk to this guy about it. Like, it's really, like, I want to pull my son out of the program that he runs. And it's like, and it's not even about the hardcore basketball. The reason I love this guy is because he's just a wonderful mentor of these kids. But this now makes me question him. Like, it really makes me question him. I think that people have to understand all of these debates are about our feelings as children. And young children. Like, I think the feeling that you get when we're growing up watching Michael Jordan play is something that a highlight will not justify. That feeling of invincibility, of you knew in any scenario he was going to be able to figure out a way of winning. And in our lifetime since then, Brady lost multiple Super Bowls. Mahomes lost multiple Super Bowls. People in the state of Wisconsin saw Favre and Rodgers not get to as many as they thought they would. Jordan Love is yet to have a full season, right? Like that we would want him to. Giannis won one, and it's amazing, and I'm not shortchanging it. But like all of these people show that they were human and mortal. LeBron has lost a million times. He's got there a million times. But the feeling of invincibility and immortality that we had watching Michael is something that you cannot replicate to someone that is growing up now because they're not living in the moment.
Are we human or are we dancing?
Are we dancing? That doesn't make any sense, that song, but it's great.
Yeah, I can't disagree.
Tausch, Killers, you know, a lot of times, I'll put on just like a random Killers like playlist if I'm like at the pool. Just like it never fails. Long road trip. My wife and I went to Maine and New Hampshire for kid stuff this weekend. Like you just rock the Killers. Like it just doesn't fail. It really doesn't.
But did you get a blueberry pie while you were in Maine? Because Tausch swears by the blueberry pie. He picked it out of someone's window in Maine.
Yeah, you go right up to the window. They just bring it right out to you. It's beautiful.
A blueberry pie.
Yeah, right on the window.
It's a staple on this program.
Following science. Yeah.
How do I not know this bit? I'm unaware of this bit from Will Dantelli.
It's not a bit. It's real world.
He also loves saying blueberry.
I do love saying blueberry. Evan, do you feel good, and lastly from me, do you feel good that your unsportsmanlike Twitter account just mentioned, so for everybody's Tuesday, Michelle Smallman hosting NFL Live. Chris Canty, First Take. Evan Cohen, Will Dientausch. I think you won first prize on this battle.
You think so? How would you guys assess that tweet at Unsports ESPN?
As a slap in the face, yeah.
Or insulting, yeah. I'm curious as to how you hear.
I don't love it, but I love the fact that Unsportsmanlike has given us a little shine, so I can't be that mad about it.
Yeah, and it's probably fair. Or NFL Live or ever to like retweet that. That's good for Will Dientausch.
Very good. Very, very good.
You know, it's interesting. We go very big promoting when everyone else is doing these shows. I did like five or six First Takes over the last 2 weeks. I don't think our account said anything, actually, on that. It's fascinating.
I think that tells you where you rank in that. I think that tells you where you rank in this whole thing.
I know where I rank, trust me.
Oh, I know you know.
So I'll give you a little behind the scenes. So Smalls is very clumsy, and I know Jason loves Smalls.
I do.
She's very clumsy. Like, that's not like a bit. She really, like, trips and falls. So as part of NFL Live, they have you, like, moving around a little bit. On First Take, we do the same thing. Like, I switch seats. I do a stand-up. You got to walk here. You got to walk and talk. There's a lot of activity, right? And so she's been very nervous about whether or not, like, she's going to, God forbid, trip on the set, et cetera. They do a walkthrough yesterday.
Oh,
she
no.
goes to sit on one of the seats and falls off the seat.
Oh, no. She's like, so Lucille Ball.
Well, I've been telling her I want this to happen on the show because it'll be great for our show. If she, like, trips and falls, that'd be unbelievable for us, right?
It's got to be. She can't fake. She can't, like, intentionally, like, do it.
Whoa.
Right? It's
got to
be authentic.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
No, it's not going to be, like, Kramer style, but I think that she's going to try to. Well, not try to fall. I think there's a chance she falls.
Organically falls, yes. Well, we hope she, if she does, we hope she's okay. Evan, thanks for your time. You didn't really help me at all on the LeBron versus MJ thing, though.
Well, I don't think, Jason, somebody said, I think Ryan Russillo said this. I don't know that anyone's ever changed their mind on that.
Yeah.
Think about that. Have you ever heard, this was Russillo's bit on The Ringer. Like, have you ever heard me? Yeah, you know, I watched more tape. I did more research. I used to be a LeBron guy. Now I'm a Jordan person.
It's
no
true.
One has ever changed their. I mean, if you think more people have changed their mind in terms of political affiliation than Jordan and LeBron.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
I think you're right. Yep.
I mean, no, the current president of the United States used to be on the other side. Now he's on this side. That's his right. I'm not getting political. Be on whatever side you want to be on. I'm just saying. More people have changed political affiliation than changed Jordan versus LeBron.
Well, then I'm going to have to give up on Drew for that. All right, Evan, we will talk to you again next week. Good luck on... Oh, wait, you just did our show today.
That's yeah, right. I did my big appearance in a car driving home while they're wearing makeup at a studio.
I think you're winning in that battle.
Agreed.
It doesn't feel like it. I gotta be honest.
Also fair.
It's fair.
Bye. That is Evan Cohen. You can catch him on Unsportsmanlike. You can catch his co-hosts on NFL Live and Get Up, and you can catch him here every Tuesday on Wildy and Tausch. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is our crew.
Swing and a miss. He struck him out. And the Brewers have won 11 in a row. The best record in baseball belongs to Milwaukee.
Madison's home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball. 100.5 ESPN.
Thanks, as always, to Evan Cohen. We always enjoy our time with him. And thanks to Rob Lorenzo for putting our fantastic show in the same category as First Take and NFL Live. That's how
nice.
I took that. Three great
nice
shows, three great hosts. They're all on great shows today, besides our show. That's how I interpreted that.
Pretty special Tuesday for everybody from the Unsportsmanlike.
It really, really is. I do have one thing that I have to share. I had a bit of an unnerving...
Was this your tease from yesterday? You had something yesterday you were going to share.
No, that was the photo
shoot. I
already
did that. I covered the photo shoot.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for tuning
in. Stylish guy.
Yeah, me. Model. I'm a model.
By the way, are you
going
to get us
mean?
Some of those to use when you're on the sidelines? That would be a nice picture to put up on our video stream.
I will talk to
stream.
Ross about it. Yeah, he's got to send it through the filter that makes me look skinnier first.
We could see. Well, or Jason could promote Wildy and Tausch while he's on the sideline. And not always Channel 3. You could do both, right? Could have you in, like, that big Wildy and Tausch hat that Jesse was talking about.
No, that is a collector's item. It is right here. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah,
I don't want to get it dirty.
I see it, Jason.
Just tomorrow. Dirty. Just bring it out on opening day.
No,
every year. That'd be fun.
One day.
Opening day.
No. One day.
No. What if it rains? It'll be ruined, Jerry.
Well, check the weather. Bruh.
No, plus it's going to be hot. It will be sweaty.
That's a hot hat.
Not doing it.
Okay.
Here's the unnerving thing that happened yesterday. And I want to be very clear. We love Quick Trip. I mean, love. It is the number one place that we stop whenever we are on the go. Yesterday, in between volleyball practice and gymnastics practice, we go, we get a smoothie, everything's awesome.
All right.
But we go to checkout.
Okay.
And we pay for our smoothie. And I got a corn dog because I love the corn dogs there. Mm-hmm. And the guy behind the counter says, "Have a great night."
Okay.
What about
what?
We'll see you next time.
Oh,
that's the signature line.
And you have a great night.
No, there was no. We'll see you next time. None.
Ooh boy.
And it threw me for a loop. Like I didn't. I was expecting it, and I didn't get it.
Well, did you say see you next time back to him? Then?
So Sydney, as we're walking out, says, "We'll see you next time." Which I thought was really
nice.
Well played by her. I was proud of her.
And then what did he say? Have a good night?
Oh, he was already checking out the next person. I'm not even sure he heard me or heard her. So anyway, that was our trip to Quick Trip last night. You make Quick Trip trips all the time for your Karuba coffee without a cover on it.
Indeed we do. And till August 17th, gear up for the Quick Trip Mountain Dew Quick Climb. Every sip gets you closer to the summit. You have till August 17th. Play every day for free right in the Quick Rewards app. And if you buy a Pepsi or Mountain Dew, you get more. You get bonus opportunities. The cash prize climbs all the way up to $250,000 at the summit of it. Get climbing now in the Quick Rewards app. Quick Trips Mountain Dew Quick Climb. Your summer, your climb, your win. No purchase is necessary, and deals. 99 cents a loaf for Quickery white bread, Nature's Touch ice cream, 1 pint, $3.99. Oh, that's a pretty good deal. Ah, here's a free one. You get two of them for $3.99. Kitchen Cravings, bacon wrap, pork loins, 4 for $5. Quick Trip. Have a good morning, have a good night, and we'll see you next time.
Have a great night. The 10 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.